With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
The church has been purchased by the blood of Jesus, the organized organism of the body of Christ. It exists in local communities, and when God leads me to be a part of one, I need to be a participant, committed to it, not just drive by when it's convenient. And the church should not simply contextualize into a consumer society, but must confront the self-centeredness. And you don't confront the consumerism of a society if you actually become another proponent of consumerism.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message, His Church, Our Home, as we continue our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Is your church doing well? An effective church that is fulfilling its mission on earth is not just doing well, it is doing W-E-L-L. This acronym stands for Worship, Evangelize, Love, and Learn. And these four marks are characteristic of a spiritually healthy church. A church where God is faithfully honored, where its members find their true home on earth. How can we cultivate churches that are truly doing well in the way they worship, evangelize, love, and learn? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 20. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, His Church, Our Home.
God's church is mine and my family's home. This is our home. It's not a boarding house to drive by on Sunday and get a sermon. It's home. My father's household with his children, who are my brothers and sisters. And that's what I want to talk to you about. God's church, our home. So what I'd like for you to do is, first of all, let me give you why I'm doing this series with three concerns. Here's the first thing. We got to stay focused on the fundamentals of what it means to be God's church, which makes it our home. What does it mean to stay embracing the fundamentals? Brothers and sisters, I think this is very crucial. It's the fundamentals. What does God say His church is? Her message, her ministry, and her methods. That's our home. And that will transcend all the ages. Doesn't matter when North America or South America. They'll have to change languages, but not the message or ministry of the church. So come back to those fundamentals. Secondly, we've got to maintain focus. We have to maintain focus. Our focus, Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, that glorious focus that God has given to us, we have to maintain it. And the reason you have to maintain it is in every Christian's life, in every Christian institution, and in every Christian church, there is an inevitable slide to sin, error, heresy, and apostasy. In every Christian, why do you think the Lord gives us the means of grace and tell us to come in the Lord's Supper to do regularly in preaching? Because He knows, left alone, there is the old man within us, there's an inevitable slide. Every church, every Christian institution, there is an inevitable slide that begins to take place unless intentionally you stay focused on Christ, the gospel, and filled with the Spirit of God. You have to intentionally stay focused there with utter reliance upon His power, ultimate commitment to Christ as the center of everything. Christ, the gospel, empowering God's people, and the Spirit of God, the utter reliance in the filling of God's people. That focus has to be maintained. Otherwise, there'll be an inevitable slide. And have you ever noticed how unless God intervenes with the preeminence of Christ, the power of the gospel, and a fresh movement of the Spirit of God, every Christian, every church, every institution always goes into liberalism, apostasy, error, or something. So God, we want to get the fundamentals in place. We want to make sure our focus is Christ, the gospel, to the glory of God by the power of the Spirit of God. And number three, we want to look to the future. I do not want somebody to ride by that circle, read that historical marker, go look at that monument and say 40 years from now, boy, I tell you, that used to be a great church. How about here's a book you can find out how great they were. I have no interest, and I know the people in 1988 that built this building. I know it by the way they didn't build the building for 15 years. I know they had an interest in the coming generations. It wasn't just all about us. What's going to happen in the, we want a building here for the coming generations, and we want a ministry here that can reach the coming generations. I don't want somebody to ride by and say, now that was a church. I have no interest in Briarwood being a museum, a movement of the kingdom of God that is expanding the kingdom from Birmingham to around the world. How does that happen? It doesn't happen because And maybe some of you are thinking, you know, Harry, you just don't have much self-confidence. You can come up with anything new. No, I have an absolute commitment not to come up with something new. I just want to do what God says. I can't think of anything more relevant than the gospel, more needed than Jesus, and more powerful than the Holy Spirit. I can't think of anything else. Now, I know sin is constantly reconfiguring its brokenness, but I know the one answer to sin is always Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. I'm confident of that. If it wasn't, I'd turn in my robe. Then what kind of a movement does that look like? If we stay focused on the fundamentals and we maintain our focus, and if we're moving into the future, what does that look like? Okay, let me just remind you. What is the mission of Briarwood? For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to, key phrase, equipping Christians. We believe in the Great Commission. Make disciples who worship God, who go, who baptize, who teach. We want to equip Christians to worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. Very simply, that statement, every dollar, $2.1 million, the $10 plus million last year, the gifts that you use, the ministries that we put in place, the board-directed ministries, the program ministries, the shepherding, every single thing has to be to accomplish that. If it doesn't, cross it off. Just cross it off. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God. There's our vertical and our horizontal, to reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ. By the way, we want to reach Birmingham. We don't want to reach the world and miss Birmingham. And by the way, we don't want to just reach Birmingham without overflowing to the world. So that's our mission. It answers five questions. Who are we? Briarwood. What do? We worship God, reach people. How do we do this? By equipping Christians. Where do we do this? Birmingham and around the world. Why do we do this? God's glory. Is it in Harry Reader's church, in Dr. Barker's church, in the PCA's church? We're thankful to be a part of the PCA. Praise the Lord for our elders, our deacons, and everybody else. We all own the ministry. It's our home, but it's God's church doing His mission for His glory, that only He, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Thine own name, give glory and honor because of Your loving kindness and truth. Number two, if we do that mission, that's what we, by the way, notice that phrase, we are committed. That's our commitment. Every gift, every time, every treasure, every talent, every minute, that's our commitment. Now, if we're able to accomplish the mission, what does that look like? That's our vision. A mission is what you want to do. A vision is what you want to be by God's grace when you do it. So here's our vision. Our vision is that for the coming generations, Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping center where every member is a minister and every member is a missionary. So we equip Christians by what? By having a church just like your home is raising up your children to go out. This home is raising up the children of God to go out for Jesus Christ. We are equipping Christians to minister to God with worship. That's our ministry of upreach. To minister to the world with evangelism. That's our ministry of outreach. To minister to one another in love. That's our ministry of inreach. And to minister to ourselves by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We call it a well Christian. Worship, evangelize, love, and learn. Spiritually healthy Christians where it's not just the pastor is our minister with the pastoral staff. They are equipping us under the oversight of elders, shepherded by elders, served by deacons, so that we are the ministers. We are the, you are the, you minister to God with worship, to the world with the gospel of evangelism. You minister to one another with love, and we minister to ourselves by growing deep, because when the root goes deeper, the fruit goes higher. So by God's grace, that's what we want to do. And every member is not only a minister, every member is a missionary. We are all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to do this? Nothing ingenious. Just pick up the book of Acts. How did they turn the world upside down? So our mission, that's our purpose. Our vision, that's our passion. For coming generations, Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, every member a minister, every member a missionary. Now, where does that lead us to? Well, that leads us to the strategy for our ministry. Now, what is our strategy? Just go right to, what did Paul do with the world turned upside down? Everywhere he went, for coming generations, Briarwood will prayerfully seek to implement the biblical strategy. We're just going to do what they did in the book of Acts. Every time they went to a city, they did gospel evangelism and discipleship. Lift up Jesus, power of the Spirit, communicate the gospel for evangelism and discipleship. Then they planted a church. If there was already a church, they strengthened the church. Gospel church was planting, gospel church revitalization. Then they did gospel deeds of love, mercy, and justice. People saw the love of Christ. They felt the mercy of Christ. They saw the justice of Christ as wrongs were made right and people were ministered to. And then everywhere Paul went, he produced leaders for the church and from the church into the community so that gospel leaders were being developed and deployed. That's simply ours. Every ministry, every dollar, everything will be put toward evangelism and disciple making, church planting and church revitalization. This is fundamental. This is our focus as we're Christ-centered for coming generations. It's not just a matter of, I want my nice little happy hour church where I get my nice little pick-me-up, three steps to success on Sunday. No, this is where we're being equipped, and we're being equipped in such a way that if Jesus doesn't come back, the next generation is set up for the glory of God. That we are reproducing this Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled with new leaders, new Christians, our children coming to Christ, new people coming to Christ, leaders that are developed for the church and from the church into the world. By God's grace, over 50 years, hundreds of churches this church has planted. Literally over thousands of people that they've sent from this church, not just supported, from this church into the pastorate and the mission field. All right, now we're going into the future for the coming generations. We are the coming generations that were done from 1960. Who are the coming generations that'll be here 50 years from now? Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled. Because we did gospel evangelism and disciple-making, gospel church planting, gospel church revitalization, gospel deeds of love, mercy, and justice, and gospel leaders that are developed and deployed for the glory of God. Well, those are the fundamentals. That's the fundamentals. That's the focus. That's the future. Coming generations. Lastly, we're in a season. I want to talk to you just about three words here. This is a season of responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. God has given much to us here, and much is required of us. Now, I got great news. The 50 years that we just celebrated, who gave Briarwood those 50 years of imperfect but blessed existence for Jesus Christ? Who gave that to us? This is not a trick question. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all have heard my story on that, haven't you? the preacher that was trying to help the kids, and he did a children's sermon every week, and you're trying to come up with a children's sermon. I don't care what you ask a kid. How many of you ever taught Sunday school children? You ever taught them? What they're going to answer? I don't care what you ask them. Who built the ark? Jesus. Because they know that answer is safe. It's kind of like a Presbyterian. Why do we do this? God's glory. I mean, you just know that's the answer. So this preacher worked so hard, and he tried the illustration. He said, okay, what is this long, gray, furry, long tail, lives in the trees, gets nuts, and eats them all winter? Johnny looked at him and said, well, preacher, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. All right, this is Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, to the glory of the Father, purchased Briarwood with his own blood, met us with the Spirit of God, gave us an imperfect but intentional commitment to the gospel and disciple making, and the same Jesus that gave it to us then can give it to us for the future. The same one. He is able to do it, and there is our hope. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's a season of responsibility. It's a season of stewardship. But we're not trying to maintain a monument here. We're asking God to move us forward into the future. Out there are the more hundreds of churches, ministers, pastors, leaders, new believers. This is a season of responsibility. Secondly, it's a season of anticipation. What will God do for the coming generations? Perhaps the next Dr. Frank Barker sitting out there listening to me today. The next elders, the next deacons, the next Christian leaders in the business world, the next Christian statesmen, the next missionaries, the next church planters, the next church revitalization pastors, the next leaders for the community and beyond the community. The Lord who has given this to us will enable to us, and so I'm not just trying to hold on. I want us to see where God will yet take us. Out there is this glorious future. Though sin descends and the seas roar, that God's kingdom will spread. I love that phrase that we just sung, the choir just sung. Henceforth, in fields of conquest, thy tent shall be our home. Isn't that great? I mean, just that one little sentence. I can't. These guys that can write this stuff just absolutely overwhelm me. Henceforth, and no, he doesn't say, your tent shall be our home, so we're going to take a nap until Jesus comes back. Your tents are our home. Why? Because day after day, we're in the fields of what? Conquest. Taking one nation, one people group, one Christian, one unbeliever, one family, one life after another with the conquering power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we anticipate in this season of responsibility of what the Lord will yet and has yet and has promised to do, which gives us the fact that we're in a season of opportunity. Folks, I love the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus gave himself for her. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I love the church because it's sacred. God says, this is my church. I have purchased it with the blood of my son. It is holy. I love the church because it's the one institution I'm engaged in that's headed to the new heavens and the new earth. So I'm not going to play like the church is an orphanage I stop by or a boarding house that I'll come to periodically when I get into trouble. Oh, it's safe for sinners and it receives people anytime and every time. But this is more than that. It is my home of God's family in which I've got responsibilities and chores and privileges and blessings and relationships and all of those things and from which we go out. In fact, I'd really love to do that. This isn't a backdoor suggestion from the pulpit, but I've often thought, I love these doors. What would it look like if on the outside of these doors we had the come verses? Come and worship. Come and hear the gospel. Come and taste. And on this side, when you're leaving, we got the go verses. Go preach the gospel. Come into the home. Be refreshed. Now go to the fields of conquest. Conquer that business. Conquer that. Don't go there and say, you know, this, my office has got a bunch of unsaved people that are laughing and doing. Yes, they got unsaved people. You're in an unsaved world, broken world. Now take the gospel there.
salt and light. Let's don't go wine. Let's go to the fields of conquest. Our Savior has won the victory. So here is the anticipation of what we have before us because of the opportunity that stands out there, that God has called us and God will use us. His mission, His message, His ministry, God uses that and God will use that in your life and in my life. And look out there at all those future missionaries and churches that are going to be planted and all of those things that are going to be done. And then look at all the stories the family gets together. I mean, yeah, I love my wife so much and I love it when she gets excited. You know when she gets excited? I wish I could tell you it's when I walked in the room. That's not it. She's balancing the checkbook, and it balances. Whoa! That's what I hear. Whoa! And I kind of got somebody like Cindy here at Briarwood on staff. His name is Matt Moore, church administrator. You ever heard a church administrator say, "Hallelujah"? How do we do that? Did that add up? What's the bottom line? But Matt, hallelujah. That's a good story for you. Now, I mean, you've heard Bruce today, 2.2 million instead of we prayed, God blessed. Praise the Lord, right? Let's try it. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you a story behind the story. We were $5,000 short on the last day of the 2.1 million. And Matt, church administrator, says, well, if it's dated, it can still be used. So he goes down, he asks Rick, any envelopes dated December 31st? Two. So he opens up one. Some wonderful, dear, godly saint heard the call, had already given a tithe and an offering, and sent another $40 in. Wasn't quite $5,000. And so Matt, praise the Lord, he then opened the second envelope. Now, I don't know what happened, but I heard through the halls of Briarwood was, hallelujah! I mean, have y'all got those stories in your family of what God did at certain times and all that? You don't get that by not being a part of the family. Those stories of what God is doing. And then watch what God will do. I love ordination services. I love the vows of membership. I love the gathering of worship. I love her covenants. I love her family. I love her people. Oh yeah, the church is kind of like sausage. It tastes good, but you don't want to watch it always getting made. But I tell you, it's great. It's still great. So, I'll finish with this. I was up at our denominational's college and on the advisory council. And I got a chance to talk to the vice president this year. This guy, quick story now, I'm through. This guy rode by. He rode by the... His daddy had been given a lot of money to Covenant College. Now, he's not a Christian, but he said, I want to go see my probably thinking this, I want to go up to that college and see where my daddy's giving my inheritance away. So he gets off the road, unscheduled visit, pulled up to the office, walked into the Probasco Center, went in there and said, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I've been riding by. I just wanted to stop and look at the college. And the administrative assistant, your name is so. Your name is on one of our buildings. Anyway, that's not my name. I mean, it's my name, but it's really for my daddy. And I just wanted to come by because my daddy's been giving money here. And I just wanted to see what's happening. And, oh, okay, did you know your name's on? Yes, I know my name's on that building. So the vice president walked out and gave him the tour. And certainly went down to that building. By the time they got down to that building, vice president got a phone call. So, this is a true story. Vice President got a phone call, and he said, you know, I got to go handle an emergency. I'll be right back. And he just looked around and picked a junior Covenant College student. Of all things, a philosophy major. That's what you take when you can't figure out life. And so, a philosophy major, and looked at him and said, hey, I got to go up there. Would you take this visitor around and continue to show them the campus? And yes, sir, I'll be glad to do that. And so he starts talking with them, and good Christian college students just kind of sharing the gospel, and the guy starts challenging him because he's not a believer. And then the student says, and what was your name, sir? And he said, did you know your name's on one of these buildings? He said, yes, I know my name's on one of those buildings. My daddy gives money here. I just wanted to stop by and see what all was happening. And so they began to talk. And finally, this guy who had his own philosophy bent said, well, thank you so much, but I'm not a Christian. He said, but I do want to give you one piece of advice before I leave here. And the student said, "Yes, sir. What is it?" Respectfully, appropriately. And he said, "Before you go into life, before you leave college, find your passion and give yourself to it. Find your passion and give your life to it." And the student, without blinking, looked back at him and said, "Sir, thank you so much, but I want you to know I have." And it's written on that campus, "Sign you pass, that in all things Christ would have preeminence." And I want to thank your family for allowing that in my life. But sir, can I be even clearer? I didn't find my passion. My passion found me. And it was His passion to save me. That's why He is my passion for the rest of my life. Christ-centered, gospel-driven, Spirit-filled, coming generations. That's God's church. That's our home. That's the season of opportunity for us right now.
A spiritually healthy church is a well church in which its members seek worship, evangelize, love, and learn as they live together as God's family in their true home on earth. Join us again next time as we continue our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request His Church, Our Home, or simply ask for message number 11335. Again, that's message number 11335. We do request $5 when you request today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. If someone came up to you and said, "I know you're a Christian, but tell me, explain to me exactly what is it that you believe?" Now, most of us could say, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He's my Savior." But what else do you believe? Pastor teacher Harry Reeder says of the Apostles' Creed, "It is a gift of God's providence to His church, containing essential foundations of the faith once for all delivered to the saints as an instrument of discipleship, confession, and unity." In a nutshell, it summarizes in three concise sentences what the Christian believes. Harry has developed an in-depth 20-part series on the Apostles' Creed that every believer ought to have as a part of their personal study. Know the Apostles' Creed, and you will always be able to share what you believe. You can obtain the entire series by going to briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. Again, that's briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. We hope that In Perspective is encouraging you in your walk with Christ. We would love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.